Tucker Carlson.
Do you think the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good?
That's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I had a direct experience with it.
This is the jinn. Synonymous, I mean, shaitan, jinn.
Yeah.
The same thing, right?
On the light in the bathroom, and I had four claw marks on either side underneath my arms and on my left shoulder.
One of them actually used the word jinn.
In a way, I refer to them as the jinn.
And the shaitan is mentioned over, I believe, 140 times in the Quran. It is how the shaitan attacks us and how he tailors his attack based off of who we are. Just because we're not thinking about the shaitan doesn't mean the shaitan is not attacking us.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show. This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
Show.
If you haven't, come on now, what's stopping you? Like this video right now so we get more engagement with it, and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and hit the notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this, and leave us your comments.
Taslim, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So good to see you, man.
Good to see you too, as always. How you been?
I've been good, alhamdulillah. Busy, but you know, alhamdulillah.
So I was going to introduce you as the author of Everything You Want to Know About Shaitan. It's a new book coming out, and we'll discuss that a little bit later in the interview.
Inshallah.
So usually people introduce someone that's already written a book, but you got a book coming out.
Yes. I'm hoping by the time this comes out, the book comes out, but that might be a little bit too optimistic on my end.
You're going to write, I mean, very interesting. I mean, this is, if you want to know about the key player out there, the one who's deceiving, has been deceiving people since long time ago and
until
today.
Since the creation of Adam alayhi salam.
Yes, yes. That's the devil.
That's when the battle started.
Yeah, and you're going to be writing a book that's intensive, going into who the devil is and what?
Yeah, so the Islamic understanding and the Islamic perspective on the devil. So on one sense, it's an aqidah book, because our belief in the devil is part of our belief system. You know, a lot of faiths out there, a lot of traditions, when they talk about the devil, it's almost like he's a metaphor for evil, mm-hmm. right? There's no actual being called the shaitan or the devil or Satan. According to our aqidah, according to our creed, the shaitan is an actual being created by Allah. And he worshipped Allah for a long time, and he was actually the best amongst the jinn, to the point where Allah raised him up to live amongst the angels. And then he was tested by Allah, and he was tested through the creation of Adam alayhi salam, because now he had to humble himself. So for a long time he thought, I'm the best, I'm the man. For a long time. And then Allah created Adam, and Allah gathered the angels and instructed with Iblis, the shaitan, and Allah instructed the angels to fall into prostration before Adam alayhi salam. And Allah tells us that he refused. Istakbar, Allah said, he became arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that arrogance led to his disbelief. So, you know, this is an issue even for us as believers. There's a reason why Allah shares the story in the Quran. It's found all over the Quran. And the shaitan is mentioned over, I believe, 140 times in the Quran. You know, oftentimes when we think about the shaitan, it's just this very passive relationship with the shaitan. And that's the problem with the culture we live in. You know, when we think about Satan, it's just something we relegate to, like Halloween, you know, demons. And it's just become a joke, a plaything. Or it's made into a horror thing. In the Sharia, we're not afraid of like the shaitan being horrific looking. It's the spiritual attack of the shaitan. So the lesson, one of the big lessons is, it started with hasad, that jealousy that he had, which led to his arrogance, which led to his kufr, his disbelief. So it's his story. So on one hand, we have the full story of the shaitan, anything and everything that you want to know about the shaitan. And then there's spiritual aspect of it, or the tazkiyah, purification aspect of it, is how the shaitan attacks us and how he tailors his attack based off of who we are. Some people feel safe from the attack of the shaitan. You know, someone's like, oh, I'm a big scholar, big sheikh, or I'm a hafiz of the Quran, or I'm a good Muslim, and this and that, and they feel like the shaitan will never attack them. But sometimes that shaitan attacks them more severely than the person who's already astray, because the shaitan, he's already astray, he's already, I got him, nothing to worry about. And the impact, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but the impact of misleading a person of knowledge is disastrous. You know what happens when a person of knowledge goes astray? The number of problems. Number one, the average person looks at a person of knowledge who commits a major sin or goes astray, The average person thinks, well, if this person is going to fall into this sin, what hope do I have? I'm not a big sheikh. I'm not a big scholar. And so many people lose hope. And then you have people who lose hope in Islam itself, right? They're like, oh, so the problem isn't this person, the problem is Islam, right? That look, this person is preaching Islam, or they're talking about Islam, or they're supposed to be representing Islam, and look, they commit this sin. So they lose, and this is a big win for the shaitan, that look, Islam is the problem. And you'll see now, and when this happens, we've seen it happen, people who are against Islam, even like atheists, will jump on the bandwagon. Right? Like, oh, this person who is a scholar or this or that, whatever, look, he did this. And they'll use that as a method to attack Islam as a whole. That's a big victory for the shaitan. Last but not least is that sometimes a scholar who falls into a sin may try to rationalize that sin, because he knows he has that power. He's in a position of authority. He's speaking for Islam. And imagine what happens if a scholar rationalizes a sin. A scholar says, no, it's actually, you know what? It's actually halal. It's actually okay. How many thousands in our time, millions of people will go astray? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it happen online, right? Somebody does something online and they're a big personality. And because they're a big personality, how many people follow them? And say, oh, okay, must be okay because they're doing it.
They have a massive influence,
A massive influence. And the shaitan is in the numbers game. He wants numbers. He wants to get the most bang for his buck. So that's why it's very important to study the shaitan and to study how the shaitan may affect us based off of who we are. So I'm hoping, inshallah, may Allah accept this effort and may Allah allow it to come to fruition.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to being able to share this knowledge with people, inshallah.
This is extremely important, knowing your enemy. And the enemy of mankind is the devil, shaitan.
Absolutely.
Tell me, have you heard, this is not an Islamic statement, but we've heard this profound statement saying that the greatest lies ever told, convincing humankind that he doesn't exist.
Yeah, one of the greatest lies the devil ever told was that he doesn't exist. Absolutely. And for Muslims, you know, it's very interesting because as Muslims, it's not that we deny the existence of the devil. You know, it's impossible for us to deny the existence of the devil, because even when we recite the Quran, what did Allah say? فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Quran, seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, the accursed shaitan. We can't deny it. The shaitan knows that. So he will resort to us just not thinking about the shaitan. Like, it's not even a concern. Allah says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. The shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Take him as your enemy. How many Muslims in their day say, you know what? I'm going to take the shaitan as my enemy. I'm going to be cognizant, be aware. Where is the shaitan attacking me? How is he attacking my speech? We speak, we say things without thinking about, is this really beneficial to this relationship? Is it helping, or is it going to make the shaitan happy? Right? Especially with social media, and you know, we talked about this earlier, how toxic social media has become. Right? That's a playground. For me, the social media has become a playground for the shaitan. Right? The shaitan's our enemy, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way the shaitan gets Muslims is to get us to not think about the shaitan. Even though every day we're saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, but we just don't think about it. We think we're good to go. You know, so absolutely, that statement, I agree with that statement.
You have to be cognizant and aware of your enemy.
Absolutely.
You're in the battlefield, you got to know the tricks and traps, and so you can be well prepared.
Yeah. Can I share with you a statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he wanted to describe how the shaitan is with us?
Please.
He said, Inna shaitan yajri min al-insan majrad dam. He said the shaitan flows, authentic hadith, flows through human beings like the flowing of blood. I usually tell people, take your hand and feel your pulse. That is how the Prophet described the shaitan. Yeah. He flows within us like the flowing of blood. Now, our pulse is something that we don't think about. Right? Okay. We're alive because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because our blood is flowing. If blood stops flowing, heart stops pumping blood, that's it, right? Blood keeps flowing, but we don't think about it. The shaitan is there attacking us, but we don't think about it. And this pulse, the blood flowing, is consistent. It doesn't stop. The shaitan doesn't stop. Just because we're not thinking about the shaitan doesn't mean the shaitan is not attacking us. And the blood continues to flow as long as we're alive. The shaitan continues to attack us as long as we're alive. even if we have one breath left, the shaitan will come and try to deceive us. And yet, we're oblivious. We don't think about the attacks of the shaitan. How many people live a good, pious life, and at the end of their life, they're deceived by the shaitan? Imam Ahmed, on his deathbed, was saying, La, no. His children were saying to him, say La ilaha illallah. You know, the sunnah, the Prophet told us that if someone is in their deathbed, we should encourage them to say the shahada, to say La ilaha illallah. And so his children are telling their father, say La ilaha illallah. And he's saying, no, La ba'd, not yet. And his children are like, what's going on? And Imam Ahmed is in and out of consciousness, and he gains consciousness, and his children ask him, we were telling you to say La ilaha illallah, say the shahada, and you kept saying no. And Imam Ahmed says, no, I felt the shaitan telling me, you've won, you're going to Jannah, you're victorious. And I was telling the shaitan, no, not yet, I'm still alive, you can still get to me. And yet we don't think about the shaitan. Mm.
Synonymous, I mean, shaitan, jinn.
Yeah.
The same thing, right?
So the shaitan is one of the jinn. This is our belief as Muslims that, you know, I believe in the Christian tradition, Satan is a fallen angel. And even though this is a very minor opinion in Islam, the opinion of, you know, most of the scholars in Islam, our tradition is that the shaitan was a jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كان من الجن. He was one of the jinn. So yeah, he's one of the jinn. He's obviously a bad jinn. Amongst the jinn, we know that there are those who are pious and those who are good, and then those who are just like mankind, right? Allah gave them free will to choose, to make the right decision. Likewise, the jinn were given that free will as well. Allah says in I believe, Surah Jinn, that the jinn said, أَنَّ مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ وَبِنَّ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Amongst us are those who are pious and those who are other than that. كُنَّ طَرَائِقَ قِدَدَ. We're of different paths. So amongst the jinn, you have the pious and the impious, and obviously the worst of the jinn and humankind is the shaitan.
What recently I had some guests, and we were talking about reacting to Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson.
Do you think the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good?
That's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you?
Oh yeah, I had a direct experience with it.
In the milieu of journalism or just...
Nope, in my bed at night, and I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs in the bed and mauled. Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon. Or by something unseen that left...
Is that right?
Claw marks on my sides, on my...
So it left physical marks?
Oh, they're still there.
They were talking about, Tucker was talking about all his investigating and speaking to certain people. They didn't say jinn, but they were describing.
Was your wife terrified? I know you were.
I wasn't. I was totally confused. I woke up and I couldn't breathe, and I thought I was going to suffocate. And I walked around outside, and then I walked in, and my wife and dogs had not woken up, and they're very light sleepers. And then I had these terrible pains on my rib cage and on my shoulder, and I was just in my boxer shorts, and I went and flipped on the light in the bathroom, and I had four claw marks on either side underneath my arms and on my left shoulder. And they're bleeding.
Wait, they were bleeding?
They were bleeding, yeah. No, they were actual claw marks. And I sleep on my side, so I wasn't clawing myself. I don't have long nails. And they didn't fit my hands anyway. But yeah, that happened.
What, when I brought the jinn expert, the person, the sheikh, yeah, who did a lot of extensive research, mm-hmm, has written on this, so they're describing how these creatures, they'll call them aliens,
yeah,
and they're describing how fast they travel, what they can do, and
yeah,
how even the government now is,
yeah,
you have people who have testified in front of Congress and hearings, and one of the individuals was actually, I interviewed another brother from Aira, Brother Imran, and they had a team from Aira, you know, Abdul Rahim Green's,
yeah,
Aira.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They have a team, and they were going into deep discussing many of these things now from the non-Muslim sources. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing what they're writing on, what they're putting out. This is actually from Tucker, his investigation, from the from many of these hearings that are happening, and then also investigators and who've actually used, one of them actually used the word jinn.
In a way, I refer to them as a jinn, because a jinn, you know, in Arab culture, you know, they're sort of like us, only they're made out of quote unquote fire.
Oh, wow.
So now the reason I bring this point up is because what the brother Imran was saying when I interviewed him, he's saying we didn't know when the right timing was now to come out with a lot of this information, but we see it, what my point is, a lot of non-Muslims are talking about this UFO aliens, yeah, and whatnot, yeah, but now we see that this is actually the world, this is the jinn.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Look, I mean, I can't speak to obviously the validity of that. Yeah. I'm not an expert in that topic. But what I can comment on, what I can say is that it is part of our nature, our fitrah, to understand that there's something beyond our worldly existence and our perception. And this is why the vast majority of human beings on earth, whether you're Muslim or not, whether you're, even if you're an atheist, in some way believe in something beyond themselves. Sometimes they'll call it, oh, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Right? Karma. Whatever name you give it, that's your fitrah. That's your natural inclination to know there's something beyond you.
And people love this topic. They love talking,
yeah,
about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Even Muslims love the topic. This is why this panel, one of my friends, he said Muslims love two topics, jinn and marriage.
Yeah.
He said if you want to do a topic that a lot of people will come to, talk about jinn marriages, a lot, yeah, of people will show up. But yeah, it's natural to be curious about things that are beyond us, right? And Allah tells us that we don't have access to the world of the jinn. That Allah tells us of the shaitan, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you, him and his party, his tribe, in a way that you don't see them. So this tells us that the jinn have the ability to see us, but we don't have the ability to see them, right? So it's natural human curiosity to want to be, to want more, want to learn more about something that is beyond our sight and sometimes even beyond our understanding.
Since we're talking about this topic now, the shaitan, jinn,
yeah,
usually what comes into that is possession. Have, yeah, you witnessed over your years, have,
so,
you seen any kind of real stories of someone being possessed by a jinn, legitimate case,
yeah,
and then someone reciting over them, and then,
yeah,
you know, the reaction.
So look,
to that?
I'm just, I'll be real with you. You know, there, I made a very conscious decision when I started in this topic of the shaitan, the Islamic perspective on the shaitan, to stay away from that topic because I didn't want it to take over the conversation.
I got you, okay.
So I deal with the spiritual impact of the shaitan. Because once you get into that, that's all people want to talk about.
Yeah.
I personally, I don't like that stuff, ruqya in that. I'm not an expert in it. It's not my specialty. I know people who, you know, do ruqya and use the Quran to cure,
yes,
and to help people. Not my area of expertise.
Yeah. Being equipped now with the tools, I think this is something that people take lightly. When you think about your, what you're saying, your enemy, the enemy of mankind, and then you wake up and then you have the tools, ethqad, for example.
Yes.
To be out in the battlefield without,
yes,
any kind of equipment to face,
yeah,
your enemy, is that synonymous with now you not doing your ethqad, not taking that part seriously? Where are you at? What do you,
yeah,
how vulnerable you are to more of the attacks of shaitan?
Absolutely. So regarding the shaitan, it's very interesting. Allah describes the shaitan as our enemy numerous times. But Allah also says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plots of the shaitan, or the plot of the shaitan, is very weak. So how do we understand them,
yeah,
two together? Well, for people who protect themselves, the shaitan is actually weak.
Those who protect themselves.
Those who protect themselves. So first part of protecting ourselves is knowing and understanding our enemy. Right? If we don't know our enemy, we don't know how he's going to attack us, then we can't protect ourselves. So having the knowledge and the information, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guidance in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then also, in terms of our piety, our scholars, they would say that the only thing that gives the shaitan power over us is our sins. We relinquish power to the shaitan. So if someone is being deceived, it's because a person allowed the shaitan to deceive them. And so this is something that we, as I said, we relinquish the power to the shaitan through our own sins. So number one, people say, okay, how do I protect myself? Well, knowledge. Number two, sometimes people want like, oh, give me this, which adhkar should I be reciting? So that's absolutely important. Before that, are you fulfilling your obligations?
Your obligations.
Someone who's not praying five times a day, I wouldn't tell them, no, you got to make sure you do all your, well, first do the obligations, because that's our first line of defense and the most powerful. Iman billah, right? And then fulfilling our obligations, praying five times a day, staying away from major sins. And then, yes, absolutely, our morning adhkar, our evening adhkar. We have numerous authentic narrations, and the Prophet ﷺ tells us what to recite and how to protect ourselves. I tell people, by the way, if there's one thing you take away, right? Two things. Number one, isti'adha. A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir-rajim. It's something we should always be saying. And even Allah tells us, even when you recite the Quran, I mean, the Quran is a means of guidance, right? But even the shaytan can lead people astray through the Quran. Someone say, A'udhu billah, how is that? Well, some people approach the Quran with the wrong intentions.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen this.
Yes.
People already have preconceived notions and they want to read that into the Quran. Right? They've already decided about something's halal or haram or good or bad or whatever, and they read their own interpretation into the Quran. So now the shaytan has used the Quran to deceive this person. So Allah says, seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan when reciting the Quran. So isti'adha, saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Always, if you don't know what to do, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Number two, Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to recite Ayatul Kursi before going to bed. And the three quls, build upon that. That's the very basics. I think you don't need to memorize all of the adhkar. If you can, excellent. I'm sure there's this book you've heard of, Hisn al-Muslim.
Yes.
Fortress of the Muslim. It has all our du'as for the morning, the evening, putting on our clothes, taking clothes off, entering the house, leaving our house. The more we incorporate that into our life, not only will we be protected from the shaitan, we'll find more blessings, barakah, in our life.
I was assuming now, most people now, that we're at that level of establishing the salah. Even before we get to adhkar, but if you're not even establishing salah,
exactly,
where are you at? Where are you at?
Exactly,
now?
We've left the door open for the shaitan. In one narration, there's some question about the authenticity of this narration, but our scholars say that the meaning of it is correct. That we all have a qareen, right? If you want to know more about this, you can read about it in the book. But the Prophet told us that we are all assigned a partner from the jinn. This is a qareen that encourages us to do evil. That we can weaken the influence of our qareen, just like we can weaken a riding animal. If we don't give it rest, we have a riding animal, or a car. You don't take care of your car, you don't change the oil, you don't change the brakes, you abuse it, it's going to become weak.
Yeah.
Riding animal becomes, likewise, our qareen can become weak. How do we do it? The more, Quran, obviously, salah, Quran, dhikr, there comes a point where the influence of the shaitan becomes weak, because we're not giving the shaitan any room to affect us. Even, praying five times a day, we may not think much of it, right? But that's five important junctions in our day where we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can the shaitan attack this person when the person is consistently involved in their worship of Allah?
So the book is coming out when? What's it called?
The book is called...
Have you picked a title yet?
I have. So hopefully this title is the title I'll go with. It's called Deception, A Study of the Shaitan. I'm in the final stages of writing the book. I don't want to give it an exact time, but ask Allah for tawfiq, the ability to complete this book, and hopefully it should be coming out soon,
Ameen.
Inshallah.
Thank you for sharing
inshallah.
That with us.
Jazakumullah khair.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget, we got another video right here you can watch, and one right here. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.